Butch. Now remember, very productive practice today. Liked it, even though it was in helmets and shorts. A lot of situations, a lot of, you know, clock management situations in the game before the half, third down stuff, a lot of blitz stuff. I was very happy the way the work we got in today. Really, we got something accomplished and got better in a lot of areas and a lot of things we need to get work. And they took it very seriously. Made some mistakes, but then we correct them and got a lot of good teaching in. And very happy with the way the day went.
Just going off that, this late in spring camp, what do you look to gain when you don't have pads and
helmets? Well, I mean, situational football, consistency, assignments, alignments, you know, depth, how to do things consistently, and then how to go out and hustle hard. But then clock management, you got to be able to understand red zone, tight zone, third down, third and short, third and long. You know, 2 minutes before the half, 2 minutes before the game. You got three timeouts. You got two timeouts. You got no timeouts. You need a field goal. You need a touchdown. I mean, all those, many of those things you can do over and over and pound it in their head to understand situational football. And because it's, when it comes down to good teams, that's what it's going to come down to, and who can manage those situations. And that's what we're constantly trying to do right now.
Is that what you said earlier in spring camp? Is just cramming as much information as you can.
You do it in opportunities, because every time you do it, what's funny, something happens different. You think you coach against everything you could coach against, and all of a sudden two things will pop up or a scenario will pop up. And, you know, just getting that experience in those situations and understanding, getting them to understand what you're trying to accomplish. Oh, yeah.
No.
We'll be past it.
We'll be back to a good practice tomorrow.
Coach, Tyler Hunter was there. There's no contact.
We didn't have no pads on.
Oh, sorry.
No way. Everybody was in no contact. They were all in no contact. No, he can't. He won't go at the end of spring.
When was the last time you weren't in pads? Do you remember?
Yeah, the first 2 days.
Okay.
You go the first 2 days, and then you have 3 days of shorts and helmets.
You mentioned, how's Mario coming along, learning all the positions on the line and maybe doing
very well. He and Cash are both. Mario's doing a lot. Cash is doing a lot. I mean, those guys are being very multiple in what they're having to do, and inside, outside, and doing a really nice job.
Why'd you make the decision to maybe get them more versatile and have them learn everything?
Well, because, I mean, injuries, and then you create mismatches. Those guys can create mismatches with pass rushes, getting on backs, getting on a guard, getting on a tackle, you know, how a protection goes, and just trying to create guys that can create plays on the quarterback.
You mentioned Matthew Thomas once or twice, I think, after scrimmage.
Yeah, he looks really well. I think he's played. I mean, he's really learning inside, hitting off blocks better, but, man, he's so instinctive and flashes and gets to a point, can tackle. Great space player. I mean, he's 228 pounds now. I mean, running well, playing well. I mean, just, you know,
is he back to full speed?
Yeah.
You're trying to get him just ready to play one position, or are you putting him in
a... He's played a couple things. He can play all of them. They all cross train.
Just in general, how do you think those younger linebackers that maybe, you know, not Terrence or Reggie, are doing right now?
Well, I mean, Legway was having a great spring. I mean, I thought was playing extremely well. Matthew was having a good spring. Like I say, Reggie, Terrence, all those guys, I mean, they're doing it. A.J. Levenberry, very physical, can take on blocks inside of him. He's 238 pounds, you know what I mean? He can run big, physical. I mean, I've been pleased with all those guys inside. I really have.
You know, Matthew's a guy we haven't got to see very much of. Just what kind of player is he, you know, to you?
Long, athletic, great space player, can take on blocks, tackles extremely well, extremely instinctive, natural to just, you know, linebackers to me like backs. If you have to tell a back how to run the ball, he shouldn't be running it. And, if you have to tell a linebacker where the ball is, generally, after he gets the general basis of the defense, they're either at the bottom of the pile or they're not, and he's generally at the bottom.
Coach, what have you seen from Kevin after this?
Big thing, getting his leg back, you know, getting it back healthy, and each day he's gotten better. He's caught three or four balls, every time we scrimmage, he catches three or four, five balls a day, you know, in the games, and doing a much better job blocking has become. He's always been a pretty solid blocker, but getting better in the passing game, and now he's still not full strength. I mean, he's healthy. But if he gets that leg back into playing shape, I really, for a good summer and a good fall camp, I mean, I think he'll have a good solid season. Really do.
You talk about the instincts with Matthew and the flashes that he shows. Does he have some Talvin Smith in him?
Oh, yeah. He does.
Just keep recruiting those guys.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's going to be bigger, though. He's going to be bigger, longer, a little taller, a little heavier.
But has those same instincts?
Oh, yeah. They're at the bottom of the piles. They're the last ones up.
We talk a lot about these young wide receivers. What through the course of spring have you seen them improve the most?
Just understanding coverage and then, you know, making the plays, getting the ball, and how to, like, if the guy's playing, you want to go route, you have to get the back shoulder throw, the front shoulder throw. Then they're getting confidence in their routes and their definition of the routes. They're getting much better that way.
How do they handle it when Jameis, because, you know, he's a guy like to be, he's not afraid to get into guys. How do they handle it?
They handle it and move on. Same way they do when I did on. They're probably glad he's on them and not me. No, but I mean, they understand it because it's not personal. It's about, when it gets between these white lines, they know this. When I go out this field, I'm for these kids 1,000%. When you're between these white lines, there's a standard in which you can't go below. And there's an expectation on our part as coaches and your part as players. It's our job to make you the player you can be, not the one you are. And you got to understand, it's not a personal thing. We're not attacking you personally. and you have to take coaching.
Coach, I noticed Miles, he
won't practice. No, he won't. He's fine. That way he's back nicked up. He's gonna have his shoulder worked on a little bit. He'll have a procedure done. It'll take about 2 months and he'll be ready to roll.
Cam Irving.
And something we knew was probably going to happen going into spring, and we didn't even think it would keep us out, so we like to get some spring in before we did it.
Cam Irving again at center. Are we out of just cross training, or is it possible that he could?
Well, if he has to be. I mean, we're not displeasing the parent. We're just keep developing centers. You can't have enough. And he's very athletic in there. Barron is playing very well, doing a nice job, but he is a very good center also. Has big-time capabilities, and sometimes you get bigger bodies at different positions. You can move him in there. He's the guy, and he's very intelligent. It's very critical.
How is Jameis held up just through the grind of being over there?
I think you see a little difference this spring than last spring, I think, because he was hungry for – I mean, he's fighting, but he gets competitive. All of a sudden, just in there and then he'll drip just a tad, very rarely. But then if I say something, it naturally comes back. But he's learning.
What's it say about him, though? He's going to Atlanta, coming back here, then going to Atlanta again. I mean, that says a lot about what that baseball team means to him.
He likes baseball. He likes football.
Yeah.
No, it does. I mean, he just whatever he has to do for his teams to play, just like he did last year. He did it last year. I mean, that's the part of being a two-sport guy, that you have to bounce that and do that. And very few are capable, and he's one of them.
Mentally, it's exhausting, right?
Probably more so mentally than physically. Right. But there's no doubt. I mean, that grind and then switching back and forth from the different modes of how you compete, And then it's all a big factor.
Is that something that you worry about with him, or is he proven enough that you're like, okay, you can handle whatever?
No, he can handle it. He can do it. But we got to manage it, too. We got to be smart and recognize key signs and also have a great open communication, which we do not only with baseball, but with each other, with him, and getting honest answers back, And so I have a problem cutting things back or moving it up or, give him rest time or whatever it may be.
Coach, have you seen any indications of that?
Sorry.
Have you seen any indications of those? Of that?
No, not really. Not really. I mean, he'll come up occasionally, but I'll say. But he in practice, he's moved on. If you get a sore arm, you get this, your mind. He's been pretty good. I think it'll start to get better now, hopefully, with the end. But I can start to see it just a little bit. You maybe see it in his eyes. Just the tiredness.
Coach, Trey Marshall seems to be getting more reps with Nate being out. Do you see him coming along as fast as like Jalen and Nate?
There ain't no doubt, man. I mean, Trey Marshall's a real player. Trey Marshall's a real McCoy now. He's going to be a good player for here for a long time. He can do a lot of things. He can play all. He can play safety. He can play corner. And he can play nickel, or dime, or star.
How important is that to have him? Knowing that you aren't bringing like 18 different defensive backs, he's one of the few brought in. How important is it for him to be
very critical? Because he can play in there and gives you a lot of options to do at different places. Whether he's in the back end or on the front end, star or nickel. In different places, and it's very critical.
He's a smart guy.
Yeah, smart guys. Smart guys win.
For Jameis, is it kind of funny just to sort of think back on how much things have changed over the last year? 2 days before the spring game, he's in a battle to be the starter, and now he's kind of maybe the most famous college athlete in the country.
I don't know. I ain't even had time. I've been back because I ain't thought about it. I ain't really sat back and thought about it. I really haven't.
How big is the spring for those two backup quarterbacks? The spring and then the spring
game. I think
game
knowledge and how they compete, the things they do, I think it's critical. And then going out there in front of a live crowd, they've progressed and done some nice things.
But do you put extra stock in how they perform in the spring game?
I put the same out. No, I do. The spring game's important to me. Excuse me. It's the only time, you get a live scoreboard, you get 50,000 people, however many come to the game, and you get out there and you get nervous. You can't simulate that. I don't care how many times you're walking in that stadium with live things happening that count, that's on a TV, that's in front of fans. You just how they respond at all positions, but I think it's very critical. That's why I try to emphasize a big crowd. I just want to see it's the only way you can, as close as you can simulate a game. It's the only way to do it.
Just curious, have you ever had your quarterbacks go live during practice?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I have already.
What's the benefit? They've gone live here?
Yeah, some of those young guys. Because they get in bad habits where you're not getting hit and a rush comes by and you can't, I'll make the play. No, and I'll make those young guys. I did Jameis last year. Because they got to be able to feel things around them and react. You got to see, because they get in a false security blanket sometimes. You know what I'm saying?
How do you balance that with then the risk of maybe them getting hurt?
No different. They do, but it's no different than when we run the running backs. And I get nervous in the scrimmages when those backs are running and they get tackled, and fall into a knee. It's all the same. And our guys know not to, if they got a kill shot, not to, blind. And we do it. If there's a square in or a crackback block, there's a certain limit of how we practice each other. In other words, those I call the ESPN shots. That everybody wants to have. We won't take those on each other, even if we're in a live scrimmage, because it's not productive to the organization. You win the drill and you get a but it doesn't help the organization. So we don't, our guys, don't, they're physical. I'm tough to me is when you're eyeball to eyeball, not when a guy's exposed and you can do that. So our guys practice intelligently. Okay.
No bounties on this team.
Huh?
No bounties on this team.
There'll be a bounty on them if I get a hold of them. No, they do. Our guys respect each other that way. And they understand, you know, it's not, you know, not to do that. We practice very intelligent as far as how they respect each other. Okay.